This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This week, we welcome the listeners of Spokane Public Radio in Washington State and WOSU in Columbus, Ohio. And Tolliver is here as always. Hi, Tolliver. Happy New Year.
Right back at you, Jeremy. So how you doing with your New Year's resolutions?
I mean, I'm not doing as well as I would like because I wanted to do less social media, but your TikTok videos are just too good.
All a part of my plan.
Stay away. You know, before we get on with the show, Tolliver, I just mentioned we are now airing on Spokane Public Radio. As you know, last week we asked listeners what the most important stories were in 2023 in their communities. And so many calls came in on our voicemail, but here's one that came from a new listener in Spokane.
Hi, this is Lynn calling from Spokane, Washington. The biggest news in our county this year was of two large fires. Lots of physical damage, but very few lives lost. So we feel very, very fortunate this year to have such a great community that comes together and cares for people, to have kept all of these people safe.
What a great point. And as you can hear, we do listen to the voicemails if you happen to call at a time other than when we are live. Again, our number is 844-464-3353. That is 844-4-MIDDLE. You know, Tolliver, lately I have been doing something I do every year around this time, which is I try to watch the movies that are going to be nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, okay.
And it was at the Oscars last year when host Jimmy Kimmel made this joke.
Everybody looks so great. When I look around this room, I can't help but wonder, is Ozempic right for me?
So the thing about that joke is that a year ago, Ozempic and Wegovy, which is very similar, weren't really a part of the popular culture like they are now. Now there's a shortage of these drugs for people who need them for diabetes. And there's an estimate from Morgan Stanley that 7% of the U.S. population will be on one of these drugs in the next 10 years.
Wow.
So this hour, we're asking listeners, what do you think of medications like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Wegovy? Are you using them to lose weight? Is this a revolution for weight loss or just another fad? I can't wait to hear the calls, Tolliver.
Yeah, me either. Our number is 844-4-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also email us by going to listentothemiddle.com.
Let's meet our panel. Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford practices obesity medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital and is a professor at Harvard University. Dr. Stanford, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be here.
And Dr. Disha Narang is incoming director of obesity at Endeavor Health North Shore in Chicago. Welcome to The Middle, Dr. Narang.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we get to the phones, let's start with the basics. Most of these drugs are slightly different from one another, but they all seem to have the same effect, which is pretty rapid weight loss, like 15 or 20% of body fat in some cases in a year. Dr. Stanford, how do they work briefly?
Yeah, well, actually, I want to just kind of get rid of a little few myths that we've kind of stated at the outset of the show. They actually are the same drug. So semaglutide is the agent that is exactly the same drug, Ozempic and Wegovy. They're identical drug. They're the exact same drug. So it's the exact same compound. These are what we call GLP-1 receptor agonists. And I know that's some fancy language that we have to throw out there, but that's exactly what they are. They're called glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonists. And they really work on the brain and the gut. They work to upregulate a part of the brain that tells us to eat less, and they work to really help us store less adipose or fat. So they do work in the brain and the gut to really regulate how our brains think and how we store fat. There's a lot of complicated science behind how they work, but it's really important to recognize that in our bodies already produce GLP-1. A lot of people don't know that in our bodies, we already produce GLP-1 within our gut. Some of us produce more of it than others. So for those of us that produce more of it, we already have in our bodies this ability to regulate how our bodies, have this sense of satiety, the sense of fullness, better than those of us that don't produce as much of it. So I just want to kind of throw that out there. Mm-hmm. Right now, the FDA has approved Ozempic for the purpose of treating diabetes.
Diabetes,
and
right.
And Wegovy for treating obesity. And then
they're exactly the same thing, you say. They're exactly
the
same thing.
Exact drug, the exact right. Identical, exact same drug. And then for Mounjaro, that's a dual agonist that has kind of two different types of things in it. The GLP-1 we just talked about and something called a GIP. That's a glucose insulinotropic polypeptide. Say that 5 times fast. And it's a dual agonist. And it's a little bit of a step above what we see in that kind of single agent. That's the Mounjaro that you talked about, but it was approved by the FDA on November 8th for the treatment of patients with obesity under the trade name of Zepbound. Mm-hmm. So that is the same agent, Mounjaro and Zepbound, same drug, approved by the FDA initially to treat diabetes, then approved to treat patients with obesity. I don't like this idea of us taking one drug from one population to treat another population, because many of the patients that have type 2 diabetes also happen to have obesity. About actually 80% of patients that have type 2 diabetes also have obesity. So we're not necessarily taking one from one another to treat another population. Both patients or both sets of patients actually have
a need for it. You're right.
Yeah. It's not that one is better or worse than the other. I think both warrant treatment. And so I don't like for us to think of it that way. And so I really want to kind of get rid of that dimorphism.
Right.
So I just want to throw those things out there, and I'll be quiet after saying
that. Well, let me just bring Dr. Durang in. Do you think that these drugs are as revolutionary as so many people think, or are they comparable to any other existing weight loss tool?
So these are amazing resources, and it has really changed the landscape of weight management, right? So as weight management specialists, we have had medications in the past approved for weight management, right, and weight loss. However, these medications in the trials have shown upwards of 20% or more weight loss in the groups that have been on the highest doses. So truly, yes, this has really changed the landscape of medical weight management. However, within this whole conversation about, these revolutionary medications, we really need to emphasize that these are, at the end of the day, resources for weight loss, right? So in the trials, patients went through rigorous lifestyle changes in addition to taking these medications in order to achieve that long-term weight loss. So, just from a clinical standpoint, I have had patients on these medications who have not lost weight. I've also had patients on these medications who have changed their lives and lost a very significant amount of weight. And, their entire life is different than it was a few years ago. And so, we don't necessarily need to tout these medications as magic bullets or revolutionary things. However, yes, they're excellent resources, and we're excited to have them as a resource, but they're not a magic bullet.
Well, but anybody who has tried to lose weight for their whole life and then suddenly does with one of these drugs probably does feel like it's a bit of a magic bullet. We have a lot of people calling in on the phones. Let's get to one of them. Wes is calling from Sauk Center, Minnesota. Wes, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Yes. So I take Ozempic myself, and I have for 3 years. And my doctor had encouraged me to take it against, what I wanted to do. But I started taking it, I was sick for about 6 to 8 months, just with, you'd throw up, you have terrible bowel movements. And you kind of get through it, but you learn what you can eat and what you can't eat, and it changes your mind on what you put in your body just because you don't want to be sick. But I lost about 120 pounds after taking Ozempic. Yeah, and changed my life. I mean, I had to buy 3 wardrobes because I lost so much weight. And, it changed my appetite. It changed my mood. I came off of all my blood pressure meds. I was on like 9 meds and I got down to 3.
And Wes, do you think that you're going to take it for the rest of your life, or do you think you'll eventually wean yourself off of it?
I think I would, the way it's changed my mind as far as what I eat and how I eat, it's mentally made me think about, wow, I used to eat a lot of this. And I don't anymore because I don't want to be sick. But, the biggest problem I run into now is I can come off of it. I mean, I know what my body needs. I know how I feel. I don't have chronic foot pain. I can run. I can run upstairs.
Wow.
It's crazy to think that a drug could do that. And it's very, and I listened to your show, it's very upsetting to see like these celebrities have Ozempic parties. Because they run out. There's such a short supply. I've had to wait a month before, quite a few times to get the medication and the dose I need. And, then I have to start over again and I get sick for a few months again because, not because of what I'm eating, but just because my body's trying to readjust again.
Right.
And
well,
so when you see these celebrities and people misusing it.
Let me take that to the panel. Thank you so much for the call. Dr. Stanford, he brought up a couple of points I want to get to. Let's start with one of them, the side effects. There are some people have been reporting, some of the things that Wes was talking about there.
Yeah, so the key side effects from these medications, number one is the one that he brought up, which is nausea. So 40 to 45% of patients will experience nausea on these medications, and it's usually a dose effect. So you titrate up on the doses of these medicines. If you're looking at semaglutide, there are 5 key doses for semaglutide, 0.25 milligrams, 0.5 milligrams, 1 milligram, 1.7, and then 2.4 milligrams. What he mentioned to you at the very end of his call was that if he misses a dose or is missing several doses, he needs to restart and retitrate up the dosing of what he's saying is. And so then he has to kind of restart his plan, and then he has to go back up the dosing titration, which then makes him have to go back through his body getting adjusted to the medication. So he brought up some really key points there. So nausea is by far the number one side effect. And he brought that up as a key side effect. He talked about diarrhea, constipation. Constipation is a key side effect. And so he thought about these things. These are really the GI side effects are the key side effects that we hear from these medications. And that's what we saw in the trials.
Well, we'll see if other listeners bring that up as well. Yeah. I want to just remind our listeners, we are available as a podcast in partnership with iHeart Podcasts on the iHeart app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jeremy, one industry that might be more than a bit scared of these drugs is the weight loss industry. Weight Watchers has been around for 60 years. Wow. Here's an ad from the 1980s.
Surprise, Jessica, I'm home.
It's not what it looks like.
Looks like lasagna to me. I thought we were on a diet.
We still are.
Weight Watchers, Jessica, don't try to fool me.
Finally, 19 new meals that are so much saucier, so much chunkier, and so much zestier, you won't believe they're Weight Watchers.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. Rather than trying to compete with Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro, Weight Watchers is now offering special plans for people who are on the drugs and even bought a telehealth company to prescribe the drugs themselves.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you love it, go and rate it, please, wherever you listen to your podcast. 5 stars. Tell us why you like it so much. And we'll be right back with more calls in a minute.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, and philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking you, what do you think of medications like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Wegovy that are being used by a growing number of people to lose weight? Are you using them? Do you think they're revolutionary or just another diet fad? Tolliver, what is that number to call in?
It's 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
I'm joined by Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford, an obesity physician at Massachusetts General Hospital, and Dr. Disha Narang, incoming director of obesity at Endeavor Health North Shore in Chicago. Before we get back to the phones, let's just talk about a potential downside. We just heard about some of the side effects that people have talked about. But Dr. Narang, another criticism I've heard about this is people who've been trying their whole lives to lose weight and not feel shame about their bodies now feel like a whole movement toward body positivity has been upended. I'm sure you've heard that. What are you hearing? And do you think that that's real?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things is that anyone who may be coming into Dr. Stanford's clinic or mine, they've probably been shamed for decades at that point for their weight, right? And so to have a resource to be able to treat that is immense, right? And so one thing is that, you know, obesity nationally is seen, or just worldwide, is seen as a disease of vanity, that it's your fault or it was your willpower that caused you to be at this certain weight. But that's not true. Their obesity and weight gain, weight loss, it's very much a neurohormonally mediated disease. So your hormones talk to your brain, talk to your gut. They determine how full or, you know, hungry you are. And your environment, and that means, you know, the food around you, where you live, what your access to food might be, may exacerbate that or may not affect that. And so that's the environment that we live in. That's the disease of obesity. And so when we add these medications in, you know, what Dr. Stanford was saying earlier, the medication works, you know, the GLP-1 agonist, when we add the GIP on, it works to suppress the hunger hormone. So it shuts off the noise in your head to, you know, have those cravings for food. So when someone is on these medications and loses that weight, it's like one of those things where, you know, people are judged for being at a certain weight, then they're judged for being on medication to lose that weight. And I want to kind of turn that conversation to say that, well, no one's judging you for having heart disease or taking medication for that. We aren't, you know, judging people for being on a cholesterol or blood pressure medication. Right. This is no different. And so, you know, it's great to have that body positivity, but I feel like a lot of my patients who are on these medications feel like they can't win because they've been judged either way.
Well, and by the way, the number one prescribed medication in America is atorvastatin, which is a cholesterol medication that so many people take, including me. Let's go to the phones. Diana in Michigan is with us. Diana, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead with your comment.
Hi. So, and I apologize, you caught me right as bedtime is nearing. So I have started taking, I thought out Mounjaro as a way to sort of combat fertility treatment. I have insulin-resistant PCOS, and I continued to hear from doctors that if I would just lose weight, that maybe I could get pregnant in a second pregnancy. And so I sought out Ozempic, and my doctor said, why don't we try Mounjaro instead? As a better option, and it's been a complete game changer for me. So I think it's really important to look at the hormonal and fertility aspect of these drugs, and it's not something everybody's talking about.
Diana, thank you for that call. Dr. Stanford, your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for calling in. I think this is a very important overlooked issue. I've published widely on this issue. I think a lot of the fertility conversation is missing this issue. The issue with hormone imbalance and how it's impacting fertility treatment and how many of our fertility docs are really not trained to look at this issue of hormone imbalance and how this can be impacting infertility with either first or second or even third or however many pregnancies that we're looking at and how this can play a major role. And I thank her for calling in and bringing up this important issue that is very much overlooked. I've published on this. I find that about a third of my female patients that are of reproductive age are coming in with this exact issue. Many of whom I am trying on medications, whether it be semaglutide, whether it be tirzepatide, or other of our more historic agents that I've utilized. And I've gotten significant success among these, using these medications and helping them to achieve pregnancy in the midst of being told that this was really an impossible feat. So I thank her so much for sharing her story, being brave enough to share this story. I think it's an important overlooked conversation in the fertility world. And like I said, I just want to thank her for sharing her story.
Especially as the kids were crying in the background.
Yes, they were. She was brave in that sense, too. Yeah. So brave all around. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Anthony is with us from Atlanta, Georgia. Anthony, go ahead. Welcome to the middle.
Hey, thank you. So, yes, I just started taking Ozempic in October. Prior to that, I was on the highest dosage of metformin, had never, you know, was not seeing results. My last A1C, I had dropped, you know, 3 or 4 points within a 3 to 4 month period. So it's been a game changer for me. I'm, you know, 39, active, just the combination of exercising and strength training has helped tremendously.
So you've been taking it in collaboration with also an exercise routine that's helpful.
Absolutely. I play tennis, work out at a gym. And so I think for me, I feel like I'm doubling the results, you know, with my A1C reducing. I go back to the doctor next month and we're going to see if we need to reduce the dosage since it's working so well in my body.
Anthony, thank you for that call. Let's get to another one. Will is with us from Houston. Will, go ahead. Welcome to the middle.
Hi, good to be on. Love the show.
Thank you.
So my point is basically a little bit personal, but I've been on ADHD meds for the majority of my life. And with ADHD meds, it really suppresses your hunger. And I haven't had the best relationship with food. You know, I was not trouble losing weight, but gaining weight. And, you know, with that in mind, I don't think relying upon pills to gain or lose weight is a healthy way at all. I think it's a tool. And by all means, you can use tools to your advantage. But if you're relying upon a wonder drug to help you lose all this weight, it's not going to last. And, you know, lately getting off of ADHD meds and being able to regain a healthy relationship with food has been really helpful in gaining muscle and gaining healthy weight. And that's really my point that I wanted to make, is it's a tool, not a crutch.
I appreciate your comment. Dr. Narang, let me go to you on that. What about that view? I'm sure you've heard it before.
Yeah, I actually completely agree with you. I think that it is a tool. And as I said earlier, that it's an excellent resource, but it is not the magic bullet. And so, you know, the caller before that, is doing a regimented exercise program, you know, has an entire lifestyle built around this. That's where you tend to see success. So, you know, of course, there's camps where people say, you know, you only do lifestyle modifications. The other camps may just, you know, rely on medication. Well, we truly see long-term success when we marry the two. When we marry lifestyle, and medication together, that's where we see long-term success. However, yes, I agree that we cannot be using this as a crutch. And especially in the setting of medication shortages and insurance denials, we don't have, you know, readily available medication for folks every single month. I wish we did. We do not. And this is also not a treatment for eating disorders. And this is exactly where long-term weight management becomes essential. We cannot just dole out the medication like candy. There's a lot of counseling that goes into it. And, you know, if someone is struggling with an eating disorder, whether that might be restrictive or, you know, the opposite, we really need to be able to make sure, is this patient a good candidate for medication to lose weight? You know, is it going to trigger the eating disorder? My bigger concern is that, are you going to continue to have a positive relationship with food? Because it really does come down to, you know, we need to make sure that we have a healthy relationship with food. And because think about the next 25 years of your life, right? Like, we have to make sure that this is not, you know, a temporary fix. And so that's where it really comes down to the food environment and how we're thinking about, you know, day to day what we're eating.
Yeah.
Tolliver, we're getting some comments in online at listentothemiddle.com.
Yeah, Christy in Hazlitt, Michigan says, as a pharmacist, I see people struggling with weight and always looking for the quick fix. These new drugs are working for people and getting a lot of good press. They do work. However, I hear from my patients that as soon as they can't get the medication, their former appetite and former habits come right back. I'm not sure we have made it clear that these are lifelong meds and not the quick fix they are seeing in the media. Bottom line, if I thought it was the magic bullet, I'd be using it since I'm 200 plus pounds.
Dr. Stanford, what about that? That these are drugs you'd have to take your whole life?
That is absolutely true. These are a lifetime commitment. I tell my patients, whenever they're starting any medication that we're using to treat the chronic disease that is obesity, if they do work, and notice I said, if they do work, if you are a responder, this is a lifetime commitment to these medications. For many of my patients, they've been with me for at least 10 years. So this isn't a short-term commitment. If you're looking for something that you're going to just breeze on by, start it, stop it, and hope that everything is going to be solved, you have picked the wrong thing. This is not something that you're going to just start and stop. Like I said, people have been with me for 10, 15, 20 plus years, and they're looking, this is going to be a long-term commitment. If they work, you do need to be on these for the rest of your life.
So you've had patients that they don't work for?
If they don't work, then we need to pick another agent, something that works in a different pathway of the brain, or maybe even look at other types of treatments. Metabolic and bariatric surgery is still the best treatment that we have available, particularly for those with moderate to severe obesity. And for many of my patients, they're in combination therapy. What do I mean by that? They have undergone bariatric surgery, they're on medications, they're doing lifestyle modifications, they're working with psychiatrists and psychologists. Mm-hmm. They're truly using all of the forms of therapy available for them to get the best possible outcome.
Let's go back to the phones. Beth is with us from Nashville, Tennessee. Beth, welcome to the middle. How is Ozempic working for you, or one of the drugs like it?
Well, I took Ozempic for 18 months through a program at my work. And for me, it was really kind of the brain piece that I was not expecting. And I learned that semaglutide goes through the blood-brain barrier. But as someone who all my life has, I would secret eat and I binge ate. And I know one of the doctors mentioned about eating disorders and this not necessarily being a great treatment for it. But for the first time in my life, within a couple of weeks of starting Ozempic, I felt like I understood what the majority of the population feels like about food. I wasn't, that food noise and food chatter was not always in my head, and I was not just constantly trying to think of, you know, what food's going to be available, and is it food I'm going to want to eat in front of people, and am I going to want to eat before or after, and is there going to be enough food or not enough, and not even just like craving things, but just having a healthy outlook on eating, or, you know, going to a restaurant and thinking about what everyone else is going to order, and just feeling full. That was something I had never really even experienced. I was like a bottomless pit. And when I started taking the Ozempic, it was like, oh, I don't have to eat the entirety of that. I can have a stopping point. And I just wasn't expecting that brain piece to come into play so quickly.
Beth, let me ask you one question, which is, when you were taking it, when you started taking Ozempic, did you tell other people that you were taking it? Because I've read a lot of people who've been taking it, they feel a little uncomfortable about talking about taking it.
Yeah, so I had several friends who were in the same work weight loss program that we were in at the same time, but there were people, even like close friends and relatives, who I still have never told, because they have said in the past, you know, well, if you wanted to lose weight, you just, you know, exercise and eat, you know, eat some spinach and stop, you know, having junk food or whatever. And for me, it wasn't even just a weight loss. Like, my body image issues still exist. Like, we were talking about the body movement, but it was that brain piece for me. But for people who've never experienced that brain piece, they don't understand where I'm coming from. Right.
Well, let me take your comment to Dr. Narang. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, if it was as easy as eating some salad and losing weight, we would have all been able to do that, right? As of 2030, 50% of our population is predicted to have obesity. So this is not just about the fact that you may not have eaten enough salad in the last, you know, however many decades of your life. This goes way, way beyond that. And, you know, as I said earlier, it's not a question of willpower. This is very much our brain chemistry. This is very much, you know, the genetics we were dealt. And part of it is, you know, we can't change our genetics, but we can change the environment around us. We can be on, you know, therapeutic medications that can alter part of that interaction of hormones between our brain and our gut. And that's the situation that we're in right now, right? And I think people, you know, like she was mentioning, those who may not necessarily understand that chatter going on in the brain, those people finally feel seen, because they have a resource to actually calm that chatter down. Which, and that's why, you know, these medications are remarkable, because for the first time in probably, you know, decades of dealing with this, they have something that can, you know, help them, right? And I'm telling you, everyone who may have come into my clinic, they've tried every diet in the book,
right?
There is not a diet they have not tried. So that it's not a question of eating more greens.
Well, but just as it's not a question of eating more greens, and you mentioned the amount of people that may be obese, almost 3/4 of adults older than 20 in the U.S. are already living with obesity or are overweight. Dr. Sanford, there are probably some listeners saying to themselves, what about the food industry? Is this just a way to counteract the kinds of things that the food industry markets to us and has for decades?
Well, I mean, I definitely think the food industry plays a role, but I think that we make it just about the food industry, and it's so much more complex than that. Well, it's about our sleep quality and duration. It's about other issues that play a large role. I mean, let's look at how our environment has changed over the last 50 years. Let's look at the on-demand ability to get food at any time, at any hour, at any minute of any day. That's part of it. But let's look at how our circadian rhythms have changed. Just the timing of when we eat plays a large role. Those things play a large role. Medications that we take play a large role in how much we weigh. Do you know that 20% of our obesity has to do with medications that we take for other issues? Did you know that 20% of obesity is caused by other medications? What medications cause obesity? Medications like beta blockers, lithium, Depakote, medications that are antipsychotics, insulin, these medications that we have to take for other issues that lead to weight gain. We can't like not take those medications, but guess what? They cause weight gain. So there's a lot of other issues that lead to obesity.
All right, well, stand by. A reminder that The Middle is also available as a podcast in partnership with iHeart Podcasts on the iHeart app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tolliver, I have to say, when I first heard about Ozempic, I thought of Fen-Phen, which was a hit weight loss drug in the 90s called a miracle drug at the time.
Yep, until it turned into a nightmare. Listen to this 1997 clip from the Fox affiliate in my home city of Chicago.
The first Illinois lawsuit's been filed against the makers of Fen-Phen. A Chicago law firm filed a class action suit today. It comes after the Food and Drug Administration last week urged the recall of Fen-Phen because of studies that link it to heart problems.
And by the way, the drug combination that made Fen-Phen was never approved by the FDA, whereas the drugs we're talking about today have been approved by the FDA. Okay. We are going to be back with more in just a minute on The Middle.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're talking about drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy that have grown so popular for weight loss that there's now a shortage in some cases. So what do you think of these drugs? Are you using them? Do you have concerns? We want to hear from you at 8444-MIDDLE or at listentothemiddle.com. I'm joined by Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford, an obesity physician at Massachusetts General Hospital, and Dr. Disha Narang, incoming director of obesity at Endeavor Health North Shore in Chicago. Before we go back to the phones, I want to ask both of you, our guests, about two things. One, the cost. If it's not covered by insurance, it's around $1,000 a month. Medicare does not cover it for weight loss. So for most people, the cost would be prohibitive. Do you expect that to change anytime soon, Dr. Narang?
Not in the near future. I think one of the things is that there are more agents in the pipeline coming out. So I do think that potentially having multiple agents that are as powerful as, you know, the current agents that we have may help to decrease the prices. That's just conjecture, though. We do have coupons available, you know, for all of these medications. However, even after the coupons, they are quite pricey. So in the near future, unfortunately, I do not see the price coming down.
Dr. Stanford, the other thing I'm wondering about and we've heard about is that Ozempic, what it does for cravings, addictions, and desires goes beyond hunger. Can it be used for, you know, alcoholism or impulse shopping even?
So those studies are being now conducted by the NIH. So the data is still very preliminary. There are some people that will anecdotally say that, you know, I do feel that I've not having those strong alcohol, you know, cravings that I've had before. I've had some patients, although just a few, that say that I no longer have those issues. But the data is very scarce. And so I would be a little bit, cautious in terms of making these really sweeping statements to say that those are what we're getting from these drugs. Although there are some patients that would tell you that definitively they've seen major shifts in those. One thing that I do want to add, however, to what Dr. Narang stated earlier, is that one of the drugs that is a GLP-1 that's a daily injection, that was the first drug approved that was a GLP-1, that's liraglutide, that was Victoza, which was the one treat diabetes, and Saxenda, that is set to come off patent in 2024. So when that does come off patent, that will be a generic drug, which will be available to the public. Now, on average, the weight loss is significantly less, but it still works in the same pathways of the brain and was quite effective for many patients and still quite effective for several patients. So that will improve some of the equity issues that we've seen and access issues when that comes off patent this year. And so I do think that that will help improve some of the equity and access issues when that comes off patent in 2024 this year.
Let's go back to the phone. Sarah is joining us from Pennsylvania. Sarah, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I caught this show accidentally, and it has been so informative and great to hear. So thank you.
Thank you.
I heard one of the callers, a gentleman, talking about how he's been on the medication for ADD or ADHD, and his statement kind of challenged me about, you know, we're looking for the weight loss, the magic bullet, the magic pill here. And I think that's the biggest thing, one of the biggest things that gets me with this. I too have taken Adderall for my ADD over the years. I've taken phenermine. I actually took Fenfen before it was banned for a short time, which helped me, and I was able to be off of it for a number of years. And then I did revisit phenermine itself years ago, and it actually helped me more with my ADD than the weight loss. So that was interesting. And then here comes Wegovy, and I started that earlier this year. And the mental component, the brain component, like one of the other callers mentioned, it is amazing what it does, and it's hard to put to words. And I just wish that people would understand that nobody goes into the store and says, you know what, I'll take a box of ADD, actually give me a double dose, and while you're at it, why don't you add some obesity to it and make that a triple dose? Nobody wants any of this. Nobody's looking for an easy way out. It's exactly like the doctor said, that, you know, there's no judgments because you're taking medication for your heart or insulin,
right,
or because of whatever. So it just really, I guess, struck my nerve when he was like, you know, hey, change your lifestyle. I've done everything. Like has been mentioned on the show, I've done the lifestyle change. I've done the eating change, and I still gain weight and being a bottomless pit of hungry all the time, to the point of being physically sick, is mind blowing of like, what is going on with my body? And the Wegovy, it is a game changer. And it was just like, whatever it did to the mentalness, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Cause I know what phenermine does.
Well, Sarah, we've got it. Let me take it to our panel. Dr. Narang, why is there such judgment about not just weight, but about people trying to lose the weight?
Yeah. So going back to my earlier comment, obesity is seen as a disease of vanity. It is seen as a disease that was your fault because you ate too much or whatever the situation may have been, that it was your fault. We need to turn this conversation around. This is a chronic disease. We're not seeing this conversation around blood pressure, cholesterol, heart disease, diabetes, sleep apnea, joint disease. All of these are actually complications of obesity. And so this conversation needs to change. Even our insurance companies, you know, deny these medications left and right. Or if someone didn't lose enough weight on the medication, they'll stop coverage for the medication. Well, they're putting blame on the patient. They're making this disease their fault. And this is precisely why we need to treat this as a long-term chronic illness that needs to be treated long-term with the medication potentially. And so this is exactly, you know, what this caller was saying. She's tried all these medications and, you know, this finally worked for her. That mental chatter came down. She's doing well on it. Well, that's what we want to see, right? Because when we do well on it, then all these other things get better. Our diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, heart disease, sleep apnea, joint disease, risk of cancer, like you name it, right? All of these things get better. So we need to change this conversation.
Let's go to Nick, who's calling from Michigan. Nick, welcome to the middle.
Oh, hello. My question to your panel was, I was just actually at my doctor recently, and he was commenting that they were seeing, or maybe in the lab animal aspect of when they test drugs that they were seeing increased rates of thyroid cancer. But I don't know that that necessarily translated to the human, I guess, trials. And now that it's been on market, if we've seen an uptick in instances of thyroid cancer.
Well, let me take that to Dr. Stanford. Have you heard about that?
So, yeah, so I think that what he's saying is that some of the earlier trial, particularly in the rat models, did show a slight increase in thyroid cancer. We haven't really seen this translate into the human models. And so I appreciate Nick for bringing this to the attention. So there has been some fear associated with this, but long-term studies have not seen this translate into human studies. And what I want to also let the caller, the people that are listening to the show know that GLP-1s have been on the market here in the United States for almost 20 years. So we have almost 20 years of data to look at with regards to the GLP-1s. And we just really haven't seen that play out in the almost 20 years of data that we've seen in terms of thyroid disease. There was one study that was conducted in Europe that showed a slight increase in the European population with regards to thyroid disease, in one study that was conducted there. We have not seen that bore out in the American population. So I have not been cautious in that way within my patient population. Mm-hmm. I've treated over 3,000 patients with GLP-1s in my own personal patient population. And so I can tell you that I'm always very cautious of thinking about this. I will say a contraindication to use of this medication, if you have a personal or family history of medullary thyroid cancer, you cannot use this medication. Mm. This is completely a contraindication to use. Or any fit patient that has a history of multiple endocrine neoplasia type 2, complete contraindication to the use of these medications. So those patient populations completely excluded from the use of medication. But thanks so much for calling in with that concern.
Let's go to Eva, who's in the Chicago area. Hi, Eva. Welcome to the middle.
Hi. I was beginning to lose hope.
Your prayers have been answered. Go ahead.
Yes. I've never had weight problems. I'm blessed, I guess. My daughter, however, was born thin, through school and through high school, went away to college and started gaining weight and then gaining more and more and more and more. And she was clinically obese, which, of course, worries her mother, but I wasn't allowed to talk about it or ask her questions because then I would be fat shaming her. So all I could do is bite my lips and hope. She has used the medication and lost almost 100 pounds.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, my God, that's the person, you know, I saw growing up. And it's wonderful, but I have three concerns. Number one, there was no research being done for weight control for the medication because it was for diabetics. Is research going on now? Number two, are people who are taking it for weight control taking a higher dosage or different dosage when people are taking it for diabetes? And number three, do we have any idea of what happens when people stop taking it?
Okay, Yeah, those are great questions. Let me take that to our panel. Dr. Narang, do you have answers to those questions?
Yes. So the answer to the first question, whether there has been research on long-term weight management, I think that was the question. We have research. And so with semaglutide, we're seeing about 20%, give or take, at the highest dose. With tirzepatide, we're seeing even more than that, up to 25% in patients who have taken it for over a year. Mm-hmm. And so we do have actually data to support, you know, long-term weight maintenance and weight loss.
Right.
Now, remind me of the other.
Do people have to take a higher dose if they're using it for weight loss?
Well, so the way that the medications have been dosed, so semaglutide for diabetes goes up to 2 milligrams. Semaglutide for weight management goes up to 2.4 milligrams. So there's not too much of a difference, but it's a very slight difference. For tirzepatide, for both diabetes management and weight management, it's the exact same dosing. And so, you know, when these studies were done, there were studies done for people who have obesity without diabetes, and there are separate studies for patients who do have diabetes. So we actually have very concrete data on this. And as Dr. Stanford said, we have 20 years almost experience with these sorts of agents. Mm-hmm. And so for long-term management, now, you know, we have ongoing trials to understand if we go down on the dose, do we maintain our weight? If we come off of the dose, though, especially anecdotally, patients do, you know, regain some of that appetite, some of that food noise, and some of that weight. And so when we say that obesity is a chronic disease, we're expecting patients to be on these medications long-term.
Right.
And so the trade-off is that hopefully, you know, your diabetes and blood pressure issues, cholesterol issues, those all get better. So hopefully you do get to come off of other medications as a trade-off.
Let's get in another call here. Weston is joining us from Boise, Idaho. Weston, go ahead.
Hey there. I guess to get my thesis, I think we're starting to... Sorry, I'm actually a little out of breath because I got the gym. My thesis is ultimately that we're trying to address a broken food system with pills. And... the reason I say that is that our food system's designed to be addictive, at least the commercialized food system. So people from a very young age are eating food that's mentally and physically addictive. And then as they grow up, that's all their body knows. They haven't gotten good eating habits through their life. So then we're at a point where now Eli Lilly's going to make billions off of drugs because of the food system being broken. And I guess I think we need a radical look at like how society's ran and how people are becoming unhealthy because of society.
All right. Well, Weston, thank you for that call. And I think it's very appropriate that we got a call from somebody who's at the gym, clearly on a piece of exercise equipment during this show about this. But Dr. Stanford, this is something we just talked about a few moments ago, but the food industry and the food that we eat.
Yeah, I think that Weston brings up a certain point, but I think that he's missing the fact that this is a global pandemic. There is not one country in the world that isn't affected by obesity, and there has been a global increase in the rates of obesity in every single country in the world. And so if we're talking about this and we're looking at food and food systems throughout the world, we've seen this as an increase, even in those countries that don't have the same food systems that we have here in the U.S. And so if we think about this as a multifactorial disorder, where genetics, development, environment, and behavior all play a role in a person's likelihood of developing this disease, where food does play a role, we have to look at the role of genetics, development, environment, and behavior, and all of those components playing a role in the likelihood of a person's development of obesity. I encourage him to watch my lecture that I recorded, Obesity, It's Much More Complex Than You Think. It is 1 hour and 11 minutes, and you can go watch it for free. It's available for you to watch. It's not behind a paywall, but I think that if you go watch that, you'll recognize that this is not just about the food system. And while that does play a role, it is much more complex than you think.
And Dr. Narang, you are a nutritionist as well, correct?
I have a license in culinary medicine.
Okay. Do you have thoughts on this?
You know, I do. I agree with Dr. Stanford. Food is certainly a large part of this. We are in a different world than we were in 1950, right? We rely on our cars. Our physical activity is much different. You know, the way we live, the way we work, the places we live and work. It's a different world, right? And so when we add in the processed food industry and all of those things, it all contributes. We're more stressed. We don't sleep enough. Like it's a whole, you know, combination of issues.
We have to leave it there in terms of the calls for now, but Tolliver, we do have time for a quiz.
Shout out to Weston for setting this question up perfectly.
Okay.
So the quiz question is, what's the U.S. food banned most in other countries? I'm going to name four foods, okay? Instant mashed potatoes, Skittles, Twinkies, or Pillsbury biscuits. Feel free to jump in when you got it. It's instant mashed potatoes, Skittles, Twinkies, or Pillsbury biscuits.
Twinkies.
Doctors. I say Twinkies too.
You know, I would have said the exact same thing. It's instant mashed potatoes.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Well, that is kind of disgusting. I think there should be real.
They just want the real mashed potatoes. They don't want the instant ones. That's the issue.
Twinkies aren't it?
They're third. Yeah.
I want to thank my guest, Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford, an obesity medicine physician at Massachusetts General Hospital and professor at Harvard. Dr. Stanford, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Disha Narang, incoming director of obesity at Endeavor Health North Shore in Chicago. Dr. Narang, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
And by the way, our next show will be the last one before Iowa Republicans have their say in the presidential nomination process. Wow. One of the top issues for them, according to a Des Moines Register poll, is immigration and border security.
That's right, Jeremy. So we're asking listeners all over the country, not just in Iowa, what do you want the government to do about immigration and border security?
That's going to be an interesting one. You can call us at 844-464-3353 or write in at listentothemiddle.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. The Middle is brought to you by Long Nook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. Thanks also to Nashville Public Radio, iHeartMedia, and the now more than 380 public radio stations that are making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and I'll talk to you next week.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.